Hey mamas, and welcome to the Entering Motherhood podcast. This is your one-stop, go-to place for getting you from feeling drained, exhausted, and unfulfilled in motherhood to feeling more energized, organized, and accomplished. That's the vision I continue to navigate towards, and that's the vision we are sharing with you, focusing on holistic alternatives and restructuring your mind, body, and soul from the inside out. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Bilger, a wife, mom of two, mechanical engineer, VBAC mom, and doula, serving mamas through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. If you're here for this, if you're as pumped up as I am and searching for that fire that you know is deep inside of you, then let's go. Let's uncover what it truly means to enter motherhood. You are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch and let's kick it into high gear together. Hey mamas, how are you? I'm so excited to share this episode with you today because we have Mickey Gardner on. Me and her connected. We are both podcasters, so fellow mom podcaster, which I love. I love connecting with other podcasters. And she is a mama of a 13-year-old boy. And so she is a little bit further along on this journey than us. And I think that's amazing and awesome because she has so much knowledge from being a mom that she really is able to see it from almost a third perspective, you know, that hindsight view, and give us a little bit of an insight on things, you know, looking back on her own motherhood journey and really exploring things differently. And now she is a conscious parenting coach. She is an author, and she is just such a wealth of knowledge that I know that you're going to get so much out of this episode. It's a little bit longer than normal, so please just listen in, soak it all up, and enjoy learning from her and listening to her experience and her insight and everything that she has to offer. And she talks about co-parenting and what that has been like and how we can just really embrace the motherhood journey and explore what we can. So let's get started with another amazing episode of Entering Motherhood that I know you are going to enjoy. Hello and welcome to Entering Motherhood. I always love having fellow podcasters on the show, so I'm super excited to have you here today. And how about you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners to get us started?
Yeah. Hi, I am Mickey Gardner. I'm a certified life and conscious parenting coach, and I am the host of Co-Parenting with Confidence, a podcast. But most importantly, I am a mom to my, I still can't say it, 13-year-old son. It's unbelievable that time has passed this quickly. And my almost 3-year-old furry dog, who is also my pride and joy. So that's who I am. I'm also an author. My new book just came out, The People Pleaser's Guide to Co-Parenting Well. And I really love talking about all things co-parenting. And so I'm excited to bring this to your audience today. So thanks for having me, Sarah.
Yeah, awesome. So can we start off by kind of explaining what co-parenting is and specifically what co-parenting is to you and how you define it?
Yeah. So I define co-parenting a little differently. And I'll say this in the larger context. As a coach, I work with a lot of moms who are divorced, sort of single parenting, if you will, or co-parenting with someone that they are not living with. However, I really define co-parenting as parenting with anyone you don't agree with 100% of the time. So I think this actually applies to all of us because I also have clients who come to me who are really struggling to say like, hey, I've got this partner that I love most of the time, but then you bring parenting into it. And that is a whole nother avenue, right? All of our stuff comes out and we don't agree. And it can really drive a wedge between couples. And, you know, oftentimes you're seeing divorce sort of down the road in the third grade to fifth grade range is when you start to see like a high spike. And I have no evidence of this other than I believe the more we start parenting and the more that rift happens, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's like that point where there's the tipping point. And so I love to have this conversation because, you know, we're human. We're meant to have disagreements. We're meant to have conflict because we don't all agree, right? We all have our own experiences, our beliefs, our, all of the things. And so learning how to navigate those things in a way that we can actually show up, that we can reconnect, that we can repair, and we can move forward and really benefit ourselves and our children. That's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah, I think you define it so differently and like, I don't even want to say differently, but like so uniquely. And I think it's important to understand that like, it's not just, you know, divorce or different situations. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, when you are just parenting in general. And like you said, like you're never going to 100% agree on everything. And those differences are going to come up. I think everybody comes from different families, different backgrounds, how things were done in their household, like how things you did and things like that. And so I think there's always going to be those differences, but learning how to communicate and talk about those things might be difficult at times, but really understanding and again, like learning how to do that is an important step when you're, you know, entering motherhood, when you're being a parent, when you're, you know, having these little children and wanting to, you know, go about things a certain way.
Yeah. And I think there is nothing in life that challenges us more than parenting. I mean, they are the things that trigger us the most. It's like, you know, the universe provided you with the exact children to trigger all of your issues, right? Like, that is their job. That's why they're here. I really believe that we're sort of spiritual beings having a human experience, and we choose our mothers, you know, and I think we do that, and we can look at our children sort of from the lens that they have chosen us, right? Because they have something to work out in this life, and we have something to work out with them. We can really start to look at this whole relationship in a more co-creation, right? We're creating together. And that is what we need to learn to do with the other co-parent, whether that is your husband, your ex, your mom, your dad, you know, whomever, right? Because the nuclear family, as it used to be, you know, we don't live the way that we are meant to raise children. And I think that's an important point, especially for so many of the new moms. We hear this, but really learning how to understand it inside of our body. We are wired to live in community. We are wired to have people around us to help us raise our children. But now, in the way that we're living in society, we are alone, we are alienated, and then we wonder why we can't do it all. Well, because you're not supposed to be able to. And the more that we can sort of understand and have compassion for that, no, it might not change our circumstance. It doesn't mean that we instantly have all the daycare options and all the childcare options that we need, but to really have a softness and a compassion for ourselves that we're doing the best we can when it's really stacked against us. And so I really want to help moms learn how to cultivate calm and clarity and confidence as they parent and co-parent, because I believe that every single one of us has the power to create a harmonious environment, regardless of what our ex is doing, regardless of what your husband thinks, regardless of what the neighbor thinks. Like, you have so much power, and I'm excited to kind of like dig in today because I think that we can start to do that in really simple, tangible ways.
Yeah. And I found it interesting. So like, we recently actually discussed very similar topics on our podcast about this concept of really kind of becoming you and really like stepping into this part of like thinking like, who do I want to be? And like, am I taking those steps? And what does that look like? And I think, you know, like this plays into part, like, you know, you're saying like cultivating this community and, you know, co-parenting with all of the people around you, you know, you're taking into account like not only the parent that you want to be, but these people around you and how are they playing into that? And how are we, you know, finding in this modern day society, like a way to really create that community. So kind of going back, I guess, 13 years ago, What was your experience like personally when you were first, you know, entering motherhood and all of those emotions and things that were going on then for you?
Oh, Sarah, this is a topic that literally, I feel the tears brimming right now, because that is one of those, you know, I try not to have regrets. We are who we are. We did what we did. You know, we can't change it. But that is one of the times in life that I really, really still have a lot of emotion around. And for me, I was very much a perfectionist, a people pleaser. I was a control freak. When I'm being honest with myself, I just saw myself as really ambitious and super successful, right? I had my own business. I was an event planner. I was doing events all over, you know, it was highly successful. I could get anything done. You give me a problem, I am going to solve it, right? Like, go get it done. I thought I was an amazing wife in this instance because I didn't need him to do anything. I got it, right? Like, I can take care of everything. I can have the baby. I can organize all the things. I gave myself, because I was self-employed, 3.5 weeks of time off when I had my son. I just assumed I can do it all. Nothing's going to stop me, right? Having a baby is not going to put a dent in anything, right? Like, I'm just going to be able to do all the things. You can imagine how quickly that crashed and burned. But I do remember being, you know, at a wedding. I think my son was maybe 2 to 3 months old. And I am running a wedding, you know, these huge weddings that I am there for hours and hours and hours. And I remember hiding in the, what do you call it? The cleaning closet of a museum, sobbing, because all I wanted to do was be home. And I knew that what I was doing wasn't in alignment, but I didn't have the awareness. I didn't have the tools. I didn't know how to change it at that moment. And, you know, that's why looking back, I feel so much emotion around it. At the time, I just kept, you just got to put your head down. You just got to try harder. You just got to figure it out more. But what I realize now is I had so much anxiety, so much stress. Very quickly, you know, I was giving that to my son. I remember, if I'm going to be real honest here, I remember sitting in my pediatrician's office when I was having trouble breastfeeding at 5 months. He was 5 months old. He, you know, like had slowed down, and we were talking through things, and she said, "Honey, you are so stressed that you're not producing milk anymore. So he just figured out it's easier to go somewhere else than to deal with you." I was crushed. And, you know, I want to be honest about that because, you know, I feel like I have a very different experience, you know, sort of now, but looking back, that's one of those times in life that I really wish I knew more. I wished I had had more compassion for myself. I wish I had offered myself more grace, even if not just for me, for him, so that he didn't have to experience all of that. And, you know, now I'm like doubling down. I'm like, I'm going to help him because he is an anxious little bear, you know, and he probably might have been that way anyway. But I really know that it's my job to help him work through that. And I just think that so often, so many of us and so many of the moms that I talk to, you know, especially on the first one, when we just don't know any better, you know, we really wish we could change it. And so the work now is for me not to regret, not to beat myself up, not to, you know, blame myself for everything that's going on with him, but just to have more and more awareness and to be able to share with other people and, you know, like with you. So that was my not so beautiful part of the experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's unique and it's your story, but there is so many moms out there that are really feeling this, you know, like you said, like you're stuck and you want to do these things that you used to be able to do and you want to keep up with the lifestyle that you used to have. And it's so hard to just take that time to slow down. And I just had a conversation with a friend recently and we were really saying, like, we're the first few generations of both parents working or, mm-hmm. you know, like really having women working and full-time working and having these businesses and these big responsibilities outside of the home. And so it's interesting to see how we're really shaping that and how this dynamic is coming into play, because it really wasn't modeled for a lot of us. And I think that comes into it too. Like, you know, like we see how our parents parented and our grandparents, and a lot of the times the moms traditionally have been home and not doing quote unquote all of these things. And so now we kind of feel like that responsibility that, like, well, you know, I got to this point, I have this business, I have this degree, I have this job, like whatever it might be. And we want to hold on to it and not let that go.
Exactly. And I think, you know, really recognizing that we were sold a bill of goods in this idea that you can do it all, right? It's like, I was listening recently to something and they were talking about sort of that 80s, you know, power woman, big, you know, shoulder pads, and she'd be like at the office doing all the things. And then she's at home cooking the dinner. And then it's like sexy time, you know, she's everything for everybody. This is ridiculous, right? And there's a part of us, it's like, yeah, I want all of it. I don't want to miss out on any of it. But it's just not feasible, right? We are who we are. We are energetic beings that only have two hands, two eyes, one mouth, two ears. Like, we're given what we're given. And so once we start to understand, okay, what actually do I want? What are my priorities? And then starting to understand with grace and compassion, I can't do all of the things, but in each season of my life, what do I want to really focus on? And I applaud, you know, whatever the choices are, you know, whether you want to continue working really hard, whether you want to be a stay-at-home mom, there is no right or wrong answer. We're not getting an award for either, right? It's just deciding, what do I want? What feels in alignment for me? What I now know, looking back at my early motherhood journey, is I was completely out of alignment. I remember home, and we had a wonderful sitter who stayed with my son, Shannon, who just was a godsend. I would come home and she would be sitting rocking my son. It was summertime outside. I was so jealous. I had so much envy. And it was not a good thing. I mean, I'd have to put on a smile and say, thank you so much, while all just feeling so upset. I didn't know at the time that those feelings were actually there to direct me to what I wanted. And what I was wanting was connection. What I was wanting was to be home. But my ego and my responsibility, I mean, I had a company and I had people depending on me. I was in, like, everything was fighting against each other. And I didn't know at that time how much wisdom that my emotions and my body have. And so I was really just out of alignment. And that's why I think that the more that we can understand, you know, we create a life from that place. And I think one thing I want that keeps coming up in my mind that I want to say, it is a season of your life, right? When they first come home and they need you, you know, like literally for everything. That's why I said, I can't believe my son is 13. It feels like yesterday that he was like this little guy that needed me all the time. But it's when we start to look at things more as seasons, more as, you know, at this point, we can start to come in the grip on needing to do everything. And we can start to really look at it from a more conscious, I say conscious, but more intentional, purposeful. How do I want to move through this season that we're in?
Yeah. And what can you say to that, like, in speaking in terms of co-parenting, like maybe how, you know, we could be seeing this, you know, as a co-parent, or, you know, like seeing that your partner maybe is out of alignment, or signs that we can really tell that we're not, and how we can use the people around us to help get us back in alignment or allow us to see that? Like, what steps would you say, or like, what tips do you have for guiding us towards being able to see that maybe sooner, or maybe we sort of can feel like that's going on, but we just don't know where to go from there.
Yeah. So everything that I teach is really, you know, I call it sort of conscious co-parenting. it's really just secretly adulting skills. That's all it is, you know, how to be a human and how to adult in the world. And luckily, the universe made everything super, super simple for us. But there are three steps where we can really learn to create calm from the chaos. And there's always chaos, right? Again, not because you're doing anything wrong, but because you're in relationship with other humans, right? They're chaos. We're all chaotic little beings, you know, and constantly moving around, especially with kids and Lord have mercy, toddlerhood. It's like, you know, they're, and then half the time we're working with adults who aren't adults, right? Like they're emotional children, you know, with their emotional age. And so once we start to understand how can I show up in a more calm, empowered way, you are the biggest influencer in your life. Everybody wants to be an influencer. I say start in your home. Start with yourself. Learn how to influence those around you in a positive way, right? What I try to do is manipulate and control from a place of love, I will say. I'm not like psycho that's trying to like hurt everyone. I was genuinely, as a people pleaser, I was genuinely trying to make everybody happy, right? But what I didn't realize is that when I wasn't prioritizing my needs, when I wasn't being honest, when I didn't have boundaries, when I wasn't willing to have difficult conversations, I like to blame the other person saying, well, they're just too difficult to do that. But really the root of people pleasing is that it's our own inability to handle the discomfort or the unease that's happening. So we try to control everyone around us. These three steps, I think, are really the keys to starting to be able to change the dynamic, to change any relationship with you, with other people, but most importantly, the relationship with yourself, which is where we always have to start the work. So what are those? It's awareness, agency, and aligned action. Awareness is really simply, you are just more aware of what is actually happening. You know, I think we look around, how often, I'll raise my hand to this one, every, you know, like I just did it last night. How often do you swear you're not going to yell, you're not going to lose your temper, you're going to be like cool as a cucumber no matter what happens, right? And then your kid or your husband or whomever does something and you lose it, right? You just lose it. And it feels like it happens out of nowhere, right? Even though you probably get triggered on the same thing every day, right? 15 times a day. So awareness is really just the understanding, oh, I'm being triggered, or I'm having big reactions or big emotions, or I'm reacting to what's going on around me. Just realizing that this is what happens or is happening, that's awareness. And awareness doesn't have to happen in the moment. Awareness can come 10 minutes later, you know, 10 hours later, 10 days later. And we're not looking for perfection. Again, like I get triggered all the time. What we're looking for is just the awareness, oh, I am being triggered, right? And the more aware we can become, well, now we can do something about it, right? So I think one of the biggest tools that I tell people all the time, and people are like, yeah, hit the pause button. As soon as you realize you're triggered, hit the pause button. And what I mean by that is stop and say, okay, I've been triggered. I'm having big emotions. Put your hand on your heart and take three deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, three times. You will feel calmer. If you don't, do it again, right? Use the breath. Stop yourself, because the only way that we can do anything is to be aware of what is going on. So we have to actually calm our nervous system down to get our thinking brain back online by taking those breaths so that we can move to the second step, which is agency. Agency is really just a fancy word for choice. We always have choices. I know that we all love to say, I had no choice. I had no choice but to yell at my husband because he said that stupid thing I told him not to say again. I had no choice but to do this, right? They left me no choice. That is a lie. We always have choices. You might not like your choices. You might not want to do any of the choices, but you do have choices. And this is one of those moments when we can start to understand, well, I actually do have choice. And what do I want to do? So once we're aware we're triggered, we've paused, we've taken a breath, we breathed. Now we can say, okay, what are the choices that I have available? Again, universe makes it extraordinarily easy for us because we're simple beings, so we need things simple. So you can accept something, you can change it, or you can leave it. If there's another option, please let me know. I haven't figured it out yet, but these are really the three options. So I'm going to walk through them because they can sound like oversimplified, but accept means, can I accept this situation or this person exactly as it is and move on without any anger or resentment? If the answer is yes, do that. We have nothing to talk about, right? Oftentimes, this is where we can't. Oftentimes, you know, especially when maybe you have different parenting styles, maybe you think, you know, your husband wants to let the baby cry it out, but you're like, no way are we doing that. Or maybe you want to co-sleep and they're like, not a chance. And, you know, snowball's chance, are we doing this? Those kind of things. So can you accept that? Probably not, right? And that's okay. So let's move to the second thing, which is change. Now, this is the tricky one. We can never change other people or the situation, right? We're not God, we're not universe. We don't have this like magic wand that can make everyone do anything. So when I say change, I mean, is there something that I can do that would shift the situation? This might mean compromise. This might mean not co-sleeping. And then the really important question there is, do I want to? Because sometimes there are, again, the compromise, the not doing something, but I don't want to. Okay. Well, then we move to the third option, which is leave. Now, this is not where, as a divorce coach, I'm saying everybody gets divorced. Not at all. I am pro marriage, pro family, pro all those things. But what leave means is, can I leave this figuratively, literally, or energetically? And sometimes we do have to leave a situation by saying, you know, I can't talk about this right now. I'm too triggered. Or we're going to have to come back to this when we can both have a conversation in a, you know, in a respectful tone. Or, you know, everything happens via text now. I'm not sure why we communicate this way as humans because it's so ineffective, right? But sometimes, I don't know if you ever get into like these text battles, I call them nasty grams, where you're like really getting, I'm going to get him and I'm going to say it and I'm going to do all these things. I mean, with co-parenting, it is like the one thing I hear over and over, the death spiral of nasty grams. Sometimes you have to leave the conversation. You have to say, I am not willing to participate in this. And out you go. That is leaving, right? That is a choice we have. We can leave a conversation. We are not expected or required to attend every fight that we're invited to. This was the biggest truth bomb anyone gave me, that you don't have to fight and engage in every fight that is brought to you. Right? You get to choose. You can leave it. So once we understand here are the choices, we move to the third and final step, which is aligned action. And this is where we really are taking ownership, where we are deciding what is the action that I do or don't take that is aligning with the way that I want to live. And this is going to circle back to the priorities that we talked about. We have to be really clear. What are my priorities? What are my values? What is important to me? And how am I living in alignment with that? So when we actually do get triggered, right, we don't have to sort of have this being that understands everything. No, we can just look at, okay, in this moment, what is going to get me closest or even in the general direction of where I want to go? And that's how we start to move forward in a way that creates calm out of the chaos, is learning how to take responsibility for our 50% of any relationship. And real quick, and I'll stop because I feel like I'm fire hosing you and I don't mean to, but responsibility I define as response hyphen ability. This is the key, your ability to respond to the world instead of just reacting. And so we do this by really becoming more and more aware, taking agency, and then aligning our actions with the direction we want to go.
I have just been nodding my head continuously through all of this. And I think it's just something that, you know, bringing it back to the very first step, like that awareness. And really, I think that is like, you know, if you're somebody that's listening to this episode, if you're somebody who's like been digging into all of this stuff, I think you're starting to either open up to that awareness, or you're already aware of it and you're trying to get to those next steps. You're trying to figure out, you know, how can I navigate this and how can I really do the things that are going to get me in that alignment? And so I think it's a very big step. And sometimes, you know, when we're in a relationship, when we're partnering through anything, you know, maybe that person doesn't have that awareness yet. And that can be frustrating to like navigate that, you know, like, why can't you see the way that I see you? But it's like, I think that's what makes us, you know, unique. And, you know, like you were saying, like, it's really this journey, like our children choose us and we choose them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not on the same path. They're not on the same journey that we're on. So like what we're triggered by is going to be completely different than what other people in our life are triggered by. And so what makes us kind of go off, or what makes somebody else in our life go off, is not going to be consistent between us. And maybe some things like trigger both of you, and, you know, like you have to like navigate with that. But I think it's really understanding that like this is a unique individualized journey. And it's really just kind of opening up that awareness and really kind of learning that this is something that we can navigate through. So I feel like, you know, like people like you are amazing resources to help us see that and really peel back those layers and dig into the deeper work that I feel, and I feel like a lot of the listeners feel like, needs to be done in order to get to that place that we want. I think, you know, there's some situations that you don't need to do this deeper work, but there's definitely other things that you realize like it's going to continuously be nagging you or triggering you until you do tap into that. And I don't think they're things that will just like magically go away.
No, there's not. And I think it's really important too in this part of the conversation to highlight, I'm not getting into like the patriarchy or any like blaming anyone. This is not a conversation from a blaming place.
You can if you but want from to.
Thank you. Well, you know, blame isn't useful. Is it fun and is it sexy and does it feel good for an instant? Maybe. But then you know, it's like really... okay, but it's understanding that, especially as women, we have been conditioned and generally for generations have been passed down this idea that you can do it all, right? And that you should be doing it all, but you need to be making everybody happy. You need to be pleasing. You need to be helpful. You need to be loving. You need to be quiet. You need to look good. You need to not have needs. You don't ever speak up or upset or ruffle anybody's feathers. Do everything, but do it really quietly with a smile on your face. This is such BS. It is ridiculous. But we have been conditioned and we have been fed this diet for generations. This in and of itself is one of the biggest problems, because we don't even know that we're consuming it. We don't even know that it is a thread that is in every inch of our lives, right? Every inch of our subconscious. And so then when we do have these things happen, right? Or the things aren't working out, or your partner isn't agreeing with you, or he's not helping you, they're not stepping up and showing up the way that you need them. The question isn't, why aren't they doing it? And I mean this in the most loving way. Why aren't you asking? And a lot of times, hand up, my hand is raised very high. I have not asked. The majority of the upsets that we have are about expectations or unmet needs. They are often not unmet because of sinister means, but because we haven't communicated them. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until we really start to understand and deepen this and start to do the deeper work that we are going to start to understand this. And unfortunately, this is why it continues to be passed from generation to generation. And that's why people like you and what you're doing. And I'm just so grateful for young moms like you that are saying no more. We're going to start changing the dynamic, and we're going to start changing the direction, because you know what? I didn't come to this until my son was a little bit older. And I had one of those, we call them strong-willed children now. Just means they're really difficult to parent. God bless him. I love him, right? He's here because I needed a kid who was going to be really difficult. You know, some people get those really, you know, easygoing, great kids that do all the things. You actually, those you got to wonder about too, right? Like we need them to challenge us. And so when we start to look at it from, they aren't here to destroy us or make us crazy, but they're actually here to disrupt what isn't working and help us get into alignment with what actually feels good. And when we are showing up from what feels good, not momentarily or transactionally, but what feels aligned in our heart, in our mind, in our body, when we are working from this place, this is where we want to mother from. This is where we want to raise our children from. This is where we are showing up and offering our children the most beautiful example of what it looks like to be a human. And I think that's our job, right? But we have to do the work to get there. That's why, you know, motherhood would crack you open to do the work, or you might just like scotch tape it up and be like, nope, I'm not doing it. But you're probably not listening to this conversation if that's who you are.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I think it is, it's so much of that. And like you said, like we're subconsciously a lot of the times doing things just because it was done to us or how things were. Right. I think, you know, one of the biggest things that like me and my husband have recognized is like if we're out at a restaurant or like out in public, you know, and it's one of those things where like if we were to get loud as a child, we were instantly like, you know, like be quiet, mm-hmm. don't do that, sit down, like, you know, dismissed to just behave mm-hmm. and submit and like mm-hmm. do this. And it's one of those things that it's like, you know, society even kind of structures you mm-hmm. to, you know, heads turn. Like my daughter, when she was little, like one time was just smashing like a fork and a knife, like on the table, like banging them. And I was kind of like, okay, this is like a little like hard to like navigate, but it's like you like calmly try to like say like, hey, like let's not do that, or redirect, like, hey, here's a coloring page, or here's some crayons, stuff like that. But like instantly, like all the tables around us just turn around, and it's kind of like, oh, you're such a bad parent if like you can't control your kid. And I think mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's a combination of generational habits and cultural ways and just societal norms that we're sort of forcing our parenting to look mm-hmm. specific ways. And I think there is a lot of people though that are starting to bring awareness to this and trying to say like how mm-hmm. we should be handling it and how can we do it differently, because I don't want to do this way, but I don't know another way.
And I agree with you. And there's like whole, so many conversations we could have about this. And, you know, I was drawn to and trained by Dr. Shefali Tisberry, who is the conscious parent. She wrote The Conscious Parenting. Her new one is The Parenting Map, but she's Oprah's parenting coach. So I think she's got some street cred, right? But she's really the one who has sort of like offered up this idea of conscious parenting. Conscious parenting, though, there's now gentle parenting. There's like this kind of parenting. There's parallel. There's all the parenting. What I like to always think about is that this idea of conscious parenting isn't perfect. It's not controlled. It's not a style of parenting where X, Y, and Z happens, you know, but it's really just simply that we're aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, even if that awareness comes after the fact. And I think your restaurant example is such a good one, because in that moment, you know, your daughter banging her fork and knife on the table, is that really an issue, right? Like, or how you deal with it. But what was really going on for you was the judgment you were feeling, the sort of the embarrassment, all of the eyes, right? And so then we react from that place, right? It's not what's going on with the child. It's what's going on for you that determines your reaction. And this is the key in my book that we really want to think about, because I'm not saying you should just sit at the table and be like, ha ha ha, look, oh, look how cute she is. No, it's not cute. Like, right. The idea is our job is to keep them safe, to give them boundaries, to contain them, to show them how to have big emotions and work through them, right? But not from a place of control or judgment. Parenting is about the parent. If it were about the child, it would be called childing. When you are parenting, you are dealing with yourself and how you feel about what's going on. Your job is to care for your child, to keep them safe, to teach them like all of the things you want to teach them. But really, parenting is learning how to reparent you. How do you move through this? How, what's going on for you? Why are you being triggered? How can you sort of come back from that? How can you move forward in an aligned way? It sounds like a lot of work because it's a lot of work, right? But it's actually simpler than we believe it is. And when we can do that and we can learn to really go inward and align our minds and our hearts and our souls and our energetics, we can show up differently. And parenting actually is simpler and more connected than, you know, that's where you can really have the connection with your child that you want when you're connected to yourself.
I completely agree. And I think that's so true. And I love how you said, you know, it's not childing, it's parenting. And it really is, it's a self journey. And it's something that we have to go through ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I could talk about this all day. And this is, you know, exactly like why we have podcasts, so that we can chat about these conversations and really dig deep, because I think that they are so needed. And it's important to keep the conversation going and to allow people to realize that, you know, like we are talking about this. We are like understanding this. We are bringing more awareness to it. And that work is out there, that information's out there, and there's so many different resources. But could you, you know, one, if you have like any final tips or advice or anything that you want to end on, and then also, you know, let us know where we can reach you, get in contact with you, how we can get your book and all of that great information.
Yeah, I think I just want to say that, just go back to this idea, especially for the young mom, like the moms who are, I say young, but I mean entering into motherhood, like sort of young in their motherhood journey. You are not meant to do this alone. If that is friends, if that is family, if that is support groups, if that is a therapist, if that is a coach, there is so much support out there. And I think to the point is, when we learn how to really be more aware and clear on what it is that we want, and we learn how to do the work to get there, we have cleaner lives. We have better boundaries. We have better communication skills. And this creates healthier relationships with everybody around you and your children. So I know that early motherhood and sort of all of it is really overwhelming. And half the time you feel like you're just surviving. And I get it. And you are more powerful than you know. And learning how to step into creating that calmness, creating that really more of a presence and protecting your well-being, you taking care of yourself is not selfish. It is a requirement. You cannot give your children what you don't have. So if you want them to be full, abundant, energetic, like overflowing with love, that's your job to do that for you. And when you are tired and when you are exhausted, because you are literally just created a being and now are keeping that being going, you need support and help. And so whatever that could look like, and part of that might just look like releasing judgments, releasing expectations, and really simplifying your priorities. What is, you know, one thing that you can do each day that can help you cultivate more calmness? That might just be, you know, not binge watching shows when the baby's sleeping, or, you know, it might be getting outside for 10 minutes for a walk. It might, you know, just any of these things, but we really do have to learn to protect our well-being by learning how to speak up with conviction and grace and compassion, how to hold boundaries to protect your peace, how to cultivate calmness within your own self, so that you have the ability to have clear decision-making, and how to really reclaim your freedom, meaning how to let go of conflict, but really how to welcome in energy and time. And I think always, whether it's a coach, a therapist, even a mentor, find someone whose rear view is your front view right now, because they're there for you. I mean, I'm much older than you, Sarah, and, you know, but it's good to have people in the stage you're in, but also who's a little bit ahead and who can look back and who can support you. And especially women who are living the life or living in alignment with what you want, surround yourself with that and really find those people and get that help. And because we're not meant to do it alone, and there's seasons, but they are tough.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you don't have to answer this, but like, how old are you? Like,
I know you shook your head when I said that. Yeah. Well, I just last week turned 48. So I'm in my last 2 years of my 40s. Yeah. My mother has amazing genes. So I think I look younger than I am, as she does too.
You look great. Yeah.
Thank you. But, you know, I had my son later, you know, I was 34 when I had him. Yeah. I was 38 when I had a miscarriage and I didn't have any more children, you know, so I'm a little older. But at the same time, you know, even just older in the motherhood journey, right? Like, mm-hmm. whatever the chronological age doesn't really matter, but it's, you know, the sort of that motherhood age and really finding moms and women. And listen, we're out there. We are all out there, you know, like you and I found one another. Like I'm surrounded here by women who are in all stages of motherhood, but again, are very much aligned. And I think it's so important to cultivate that community. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that our partners, whether it is a husband, a wife, they are not meant to be every part of what we need. And learning how to not require that of them, but actually create the community you need is one of the most empowering things you can do. Because when we rely on one person to do all the things, we set them up for failure. It's like when we require our kids to do everything we need them to do, we're setting them up for failure. When we really just want to be able to be that sort of really calm, loving, guiding energy. And so to do that, we have to really do our own work to get there and surround ourselves in community with others.
Yeah, I love that. Where can we find you? I was going to say we mentioned your podcast, but, you know, obviously like probably wherever you're listening to this, you know, we can find your podcast, but where else are you hanging out on social media, and how can we get your book?
Oh yeah. So the book is everywhere books are sold online, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all those places. It was a bestseller, which was really exciting. So I appreciated the support of everyone when it launched. I would love for you to read it because I think it very much is this three-step framework. And I walk the framework through from the stories of my beautiful clients. So you really see how it applies to their lives and how they implemented it and changed things. Because you can hear me talk, but I think it's more impactful to really see real life stories of how we can empower ourselves, even from places like divorce, where it's a really difficult, you know, sort of time, whether it's divorce or loss or grief or any of these things, you know, we can move forward. So the book is there. I do have a companion workbook that I would love to share with you. It's free. All you have to do is buy the book and then send me on Instagram, which is Mickey Gardner, my name, M as in Mary, I-K-K-I, Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. That's my website and my Instagram. So you can find me there. But if you send me a picture of you with the book or your receipt, I will send you the companion workbook, as my gift. So that would be great. And then my podcast is Co-Parenting with Confidence, where I talk about all of these things as it relates to co-parenting.
Awesome. Well, I will be sure to link all of that in the show notes.
Thank you.
And, you know, just thank you so much for this conversation and for being here and for doing what you do.
Thank you for doing what you do. I really admire how strong you are in what you're doing and how you're reshaping the world. And so thank you for that.
Thank you, mamas, so much for listening. Remember, you are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch and let's kick it into high gear together. Hit that subscribe button, share this episode with a friend, message me, email me, call me, beat me. You know how to reach me. We're doing this, mamas. I am so excited to catch you here next week. This is your one-stop, go-to place for helping you find the resources you need to make the best choices for you and your family during pregnancy, birth, and most importantly, postpartum. See you later, mamas.